From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. The Daily Freeman reported that Ulster County's primary COVID-19 vaccination center opened January 11th in Kingston, with a location at Ellenville Regional Hospital and three others in Dutchess County scheduled to open later in the week. The Dutchess County are in Behavioral and Community Health's Mental Health Campus on North Road in Poughkeepsie, which opens January 13th, and the former J.C. Penney store in the Poughkeepsie Galleria, which starts inoculating January 15th, and Dover Middle High School in Dover Plains, which begins vaccine shots on January 16th. If eligible, Ulster County residents should go to COVID19ulstercountyny.gov/vaccine resource center to sign up for a vaccine, and Dutchess residents should go to dutchessny.gov/COVID vaccine. But Dutchess County reported January 11th that they have, and I quote, no appointments currently available at the points of dispensing established by Dutchess County government due to the limited number of doses made available to the county from New York State, end quote. New York State unveiled its 1B vaccine plan January 11th. The state has been criticized for a slow vaccine rollout so far, and New York rolled out its new telephone line to sign up for vaccines on January 11th. To schedule appointments, call 1-833-NYS-4-VAX or 1-833-697-4829. But on the first day, there were many busy signals. And the Times Union reported that teachers in Rensselaer County in Westchester got all the vaccine shots there January 11th on the first day of the expanded eligibility. While the vaccine numbers are not large yet, the case count numbers continue to climb. Greene County reported 177 new COVID-19 positive tests January 11th and four more deaths. Cairo Durham School announced three more cases, a high school student, and two staff members at Cairo Durham Middle High School. Columbia County reported 42 more coronavirus cases and one more death on January 11th. Rensselaer County confirmed 275 new positive tests. In Albany County, there were 216 new tests and four more deaths. There were also 21 inmates testing positive for COVID-19 at the Albany County Jail. Ulster County reported 88 new cases of the illness and two more deaths. Dutchess County reported three more deaths and 259 newly diagnosed cases of COVID-19 on January 11th. Jesse McKinley and Louis Fair Sandorini are reporting for the New York Times. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, January 11th, unveiled his vision for New York in 2021, focused on improving the state's finances and its citizens' health. Speaking from a nearly empty room in the state capitol, Cuomo unveiled a seven-point plan for the state, with many of the points touching on the coronavirus and its impact. He said, and I quote, "We are hurt, we are frustrated, and we are in mourning. We are anxious, we are shocked that an invisible enemy could wreak such death and destruction," end quote. Cuomo unveiled a series of proposals to address the health care vulnerabilities, vowing to provide incentives for the manufacturing of medical supplies in New York to diminish the reliance on China. The governor also announced the creation of a state public health corps of 1,000 fellows and a program to train 100,000 citizens as healthcare emergency volunteers, plus expanding access to telemedicine service in the state, extending a moratorium on commercial evictions for businesses, and creating a new office to combat domestic violence, which has increased during the crisis. This year, the projected revenue shortfall of $15 billion is the largest in state history amid widespread economic carnage, Cuomo said. The governor, a Democrat, is serving his 11th year in office, previously presented a package of initiatives, including election reforms, plus measures to legalize recreational marijuana and mobile sports betting, could potentially inject new revenue into the state's coffers. New York officials are hoping the state's dismal economic forecast will be reversed by a federal bailout and other friendly policies. The governor's State of the State address was the first of four policy speeches he plans to deliver this week, and he promised to announce more details about economic stimulus soon. He promised a New Deal-style program to invest in infrastructure, including air, rail, and road projects, as well as housing. And you can read the full story in the New York Times. Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. The Burntown Board last week made most of its appointments for the year at its reorganizational meeting. Most notable was Jody Jansen's reappointment as dog catcher. Jansen was first appointed to the office in January 2020, replacing longtime dog catcher Cheryl Baselotz. That appointment was one of the most controversial, and residents slammed the board in meetings, on social media, and in the Altamont Enterprise for replacing a much-beloved public figure with someone who has no experience with animals. The board left the code enforcement officer appointment vacant, so the search for a replacement for Chance Townsend could continue. Townsend was said to be uncertified, but there is some confusion about his status. In addition to Townsend, applications for the code enforcement officer position included Timothy Lippert, who previously served as Burns Building Inspector and currently serves as Rensselaerville's Building Inspector and Code Enforcement Officer, and Kevin Flinstead of Westerlo, who serves as the chief of the Westerlo Volunteer Fire Company and is a plant manager at Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. In a split vote, the board also appointed a new planning board member to replace sheep farmer Emily Vincent. Last January 1st, the board demoted Vincent to an alternate post in order to appoint Thomas Spargo, a former judge and convicted felon, as chairman of the planning board. Vincent challenged the decision in state Supreme Court, which ruled in her favor. She was able to retain her post until it expired December 31st. The board has now appointed Bob Kipper to replace Vincent. The board also appointed Joe Martin to serve as planning board chair. And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise. Edward McKinley is reporting for Capital Confidential. The New York Senate moved quickly January 11th to approve 9 election-related bills. The measures include legalizing drop boxes for absentee ballots, decreasing the rate absentee ballots are denied, providing a system for absentee ballot tracking, speeding up ballot counting, and sending a constitutional amendment to voters to allow universal no-excuse voting absentee ballot. State Senator Zelnor Myrie, a Brooklyn Democrat and chair of the Senate Elections Committee, announced in an email after the bills were passed, and I quote, "For the third year in a row, the Senate majority has advanced bold, meaningful steps to expand voting rights and voter access as our first legislative priority. This is because we know that voting is the right that safeguards all other rights," end quote. This year, absentee balloting was already universal as a result of COVID-19, but counting them took weeks. Democrats point to the bills just passed as chances to make voting faster and more accessible, but also to speed up the counting process for the future. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced last week he will support no-excuse absentee voting, speeding up voting counting, and other election reforms. And you can read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.